This episode is brought to you by Heidy. Imagine kicking back while a HIPAA-compliant AI scribe writes your soap notes for free. Yes, you heard us right. Heidy is free. I'm Dr. Tom, Heidi's CEO and founder, and we started Heidy to stop clinicians wasting their life on clinical documentation. Heidy transforms your consult babble into crisp, clear soap notes, personalizing itself with every edit. One day, Heidy will be your AI resident, looking through research, explaining plans, and doing anything you don't want to. If you currently pay for an AI scribe in your practice, you should swap to Heidy. We'll even credit you for anything you've already paid. Dive into the description for the link and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town. Sign up and watch Heidy work its magic, all for free, because you've got better things to do.
This physician planned to become the go-to family physician for her community, but somehow ended up pivoting into digital health, quality, and compliance. What? How did she get there, and what did she learn along the way? Find out. Hey, this is Brad Block, host of The Physician's Guide to Doctoring. This is a personal and professional development podcast for physicians where we have experts on the show that try to teach us everything we should have been learning while we were memorizing Krebs cycle. Welcome back to the podcast. On today's show, we have a change maker in the field of healthcare innovation. We have Dr. Urquita Duruan, who is a triple board certified family, diversity, and lifestyle medicine executive physician. She also serves as chief medical officer of Emmy and founder of the Pacemakers, and we'll talk a little later on what those are. She hosts the Prospective Doctor podcast and is a leader on various boards like Girl Develop It, which helps women and non-binary people enter the field of tech. She's written two bestsellers and given a TEDx talk titled, Did Disney Just Save Healthcare? Imagine This. And she has her own med tech consulting firm that specializes in telehealth and digital health quality and compliance. Wow, that is a lot. Dr. Duruan, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, you wanted to be a family physician. You saw that was your dream. I've heard you talk about this since you were little. But now you've pivoted into health tech. So how did that happen?
I always, taken aback, I'm one of those kind of boring doctors in the realm of I have always wanted to be a physician. Like there are pictures of me and Christmas and like a little doctor kit and things like that. And I've always loved, as I began to grow older, like merging that science, that curiosity with chatting. Like I'm chatty, as we'll see in this talk. So kind of putting those together. And as a young girl, like helped my grandma who had diabetes kind of navigate that because all my other cousins and my grandpa and them were a little afraid of doing the insulin injections and stuff. And it just grew over time. And I ended up doing the traditional route of like going through med school and all of the things and residency. And the whole time my North Star was I could see myself being a traditional family physician in a community health center, helping the underserved population. And I ended up doing that. I did the National Health Service Corps, and I started to work in a community health center where 50% of my patients were undocumented, uninsured. There was a large LGBT population and a lot of trans care, a lot of HIV care. And I actually loved it. I loved the patients. I loved serving. But as we know, the healthcare system could use some improvements. So there was a lot of things where it was difficult to kind of know what to do for a patient medically, but you can't because of the monetary and structural reasons. So I actually decided, like, maybe this isn't for me type, like, thoughts. And then on top of that, being a younger physician in healthcare systems, we ended up actually unionizing. And it was very interesting because as a doctor, a lot of us, like, we don't know we can unionize type thing. I was like, can you do this? So I kind of got voluntold into becoming the physician rep for 5 centers and worked on the union side to negotiate with the C-suite for 18 months. So we became very close, and I actually appreciate it because I learned a lot of things about how to structure organizations, why the C-suite thinks in certain ways, and then how to communicate with different stakeholders as well as working to try to help our providers give the care that they want to give under better circumstances. So when we finished doing that, I decided to look elsewhere for other opportunities.
So you unionized and you became the mouthpiece of the union to communicate with the C-suite. So you built bridges between, you know, management and labor, basically. You know, we don't realize that when we go into medicine, but we're not management, we're labor. And so you made all these connections and then you're like, I'm out.
It wasn't that easy. That was a component of it where I was looking for other opportunities in terms of what was next for me, because I think over time with the patient population, and I spoke a little bit about this in my TEDx, I had a 50-something year old guy who developed kidney issues. He ended up kind of going into kidney failure and he needed dialysis, and very sweet man, but didn't have any insurance. And he was undocumented, so he couldn't get it. So long story short is I was trying to look for ways in which they can do like the pay supplementation and things to get into a nephrologist. And he saw one as a consult and they were like, yeah, you do need dialysis, but we can't give it to you at any of our centers. You have to go to the emergency room every 3 days. Now, how much sense does that make?
Yeah, it's going to happen. We all acknowledge that it's going to happen. It is economically the least efficient way to go about it, but it's just crazy that that's the system.
So there were so many patients like that, and it began honestly to kind of go home with me, and I think about them every night and, you know, all of the different bureaucracy of doing different notes and things all night and on the weekends and stuff. So I started to look for other institutions to work for. So I discovered telehealth, and it was kind of before it was cool. It was about 2017, 2018. When I decided I wanted to transition, and I was talking to all of my mentors and things like that, and they were like, that's not real medicine, don't do that. And I was like, I took a leap of faith and I joined an organization and ended up doing full-time telehealth, but I still kind of wanted to have my feet in the door and sit in case I didn't like it or it didn't work out. So I was doing some urgent care shifts as well. And I absolutely loved it. I joined a startup and it was in the newer phase where I think I was like the fourth added remote doctor and maybe the 10th total out of a company that ended up growing to be quite large. And with it, I love the aspects of, you know, the patient care and all of those kinds of things, but learning the structural things like how to develop teams, how to build them, how to work on building culture, how to work in terms of helping with shift work and all of the administrative components. But then I also work to partner with some of the product side in terms of product development and how a design becomes a feature. How do you develop product things? How do you make an idea an actual product feature? And how do you develop and decide what to do next? And all of those kinds of things that happen in startups, because a lot of times when physicians transition into health tech, we're like, okay, we used to do this here, so let's do this there. So you can't just do things the way they always were just do it online. And I think that's where a lot of tech organizations kind of fail, is because they're like, let's just throw on Zoom. And especially even in the traditional brick and mortar, that's not necessarily what telehealth should be. So it was really great to learn from some of those leaders on how to implement certain structures and stuff. So ended up doing some leadership there as one of the associate medical directors.
You just keep falling into leadership positions, huh?
It's kind of like, I don't know who had that book. Was it Leslie? I forgot his name, but it was like falling into success, like just failing up. I'm a failure.
No, it sounds like we're like, well, we need someone to fill in this leadership position. And everyone's pointing at you.
I think it's because I'm chatty and I love to share ideas instead of just like texting our coworkers about it. I'm like, what if we do that?
Yeah. So you're not afraid to go up to the top brass and be like, listen, this is a better way to do it. Yeah.
Have you thought of that? Have you looked on LinkedIn and read about this? I love that. And then I ended up leaving that organization to go and work for another organization as a consultant who was going to be their like chief medical officer. But in that failing component, they shut down about 4 months after I started, because it's startup life. That's what we do. So I had kind of started consulting more, and people had started reaching out to me on LinkedIn and asking questions, and me being the chatty girl that I am, I'm like, sure, I'll meet with you for an hour and tell you all the things you should do to make your organization better for free. So I was consulting before I knew it was consulting. I just thought we were cool. But then I started to see those companies like posting like all the contracts and things that they gave and those types of things. So I started to take that a little more seriously. I've worked at a few other like health tech companies. And in May, I fully transitioned to have my own consulting firm where I kind of do the things I like to do in healthcare in terms of helping with strategies and techniques to help with kind of building on that quadruple aim of working to help with provider satisfaction, patient safety and quality, including health equity, as well as working to kind of figure out those things that will help decrease costs and improve patient care. And I also have a fractional chief medical officer role for an organization called EMI that I've been working with that works on medication compliance adherence for women.
You missed something. What about pacemakers?
Well, that's the other stuff. No. So pacemakers is an organization that I have founded that is working to kind of take the chaos out of navigating the healthcare system. There are so many things that we have in terms of resources for patients that I realized, number one, when I was working at the FQHC, but even just dealing with family members who call and they have these certain questions and they want to know like, oh, where should I go? Or I wasn't treated well. One thing that actually stands out to me the most at this time when I'm thinking about the pacemakers is actually my cousin. She was 30. Last year was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and she has Medicaid. So they basically biopsied her, told her that she had cancer and said, go figure it out. Because we live in the Maryland, DC, Virginia area where it's very close for those people who aren't as familiar. You can cross one line and you're in the other place. But she had Maryland insurance and she got diagnosed in DC. So they said, go find a doctor in Maryland or switch, but you figure it out. So she called me and basically I called and got her in with Hopkins very swiftly. And they were an amazing team. But people shouldn't have to have a doctor friend or family member in order to get the care that they deserve. So I think that it's disgusting. She got great care, but unfortunately she passed away within 4 months of diagnosis. Thank you. So that's kind of given me a greater push in terms of helping with the pacemakers. The pacemakers was actually born out of an idea that I discussed in the TEDx talk, where it talks about how we can use the advancements in digital health and kind of couple them with health equity and combine them utilizing the Disney method of Imagineering, where people don't necessarily have to have the specific job title that you would think that a Disney person would have. So they don't have to be an animator. They can be a lawnmower, a lawyer, anything. And they can come together and create beautiful ideas. So we had a discussion there where it talks about what if people could come from all walks of life and help healthcare? What if teachers were creating the patient education? What if we had Costco providers like CEOs coming up with the payment cost structures? What if we had community advocates working to give drones and food deserts to help people kind of give what they actually need? So that like magical group was called the pacemakers. And it's funny because, you know, I have friends who are lay people and friends who are doctors. And all the lay people were like, that's a wonderful name. And all of my doctor friends are like, but you're not a cardiologist. So I ended up changing it. And now I have an app that kind of goes through all of the different resources that patients may need, or not even patients, people may need, because we love to talk about the social determinants of health. And yes, we obviously, it's kind of like the common sense determinants of health because, yes, if you have a nice place to live in a nice neighborhood with some money and some food and all of the things that compose that, of course you'll be healthier. So it's kind of a resource guide that kind of builds education, resources, and community building to put all of that in one place. So if you need to know where there is a doctor in your area, there's a link for that. If you need to know where to find a culturally competent therapist, there's a link for that. But if you also are having trouble with paying your light bill, there's some link for where you could go and get help. So there's all of that in there, and you can also kind of talk amongst yourselves in a forum, kind of like Reddit style.
Are you looking to diversify your investment portfolio and maximize your returns? By learning short-term investing skills, you can yield higher returns at compressed speeds by creating income on a daily and weekly basis. Today's sponsor, Lightspeed Investing, has amassed over a decade's worth of success and experience in this field to teach you how to leverage the futures and commodity financial markets. Inspired by the billionaire natural gas trader, John Arnold, Lightspeed Investing has built a proprietary training and educational platform. For more information, connect with President and CEO Philip J. Hawk Chan on LinkedIn, where you can start your journey towards financial freedom and abundance at lightspeed rates, like many medical professionals already have. Hey, does anybody know where I can get a new CPAP machine? Or, you know, like, hey, I'm sure bouncing ideas because there's shared experience, and then you end up with some institutional knowledge that, you know, people don't need to get. That, you know, if you ask the same question that's been asked before, you'll be able to find the answer. Yeah, that's amazing. That's really amazing.
So it's, if anybody's interested, it's Pacemakers, Pacemakers app, pacemakersapp.com, because it's not an actual pacemaker.
Not an actual pacemaker. But you are setting the pace.
Yes, setting the pace with healthcare innovation.
In your healthcare journey, in your career journey, and the answer might be no. The answer might be no. Is there anything that you would have done differently, knowing what you know now, in order to get from point A to point B, or rather point, you know, A to point J, because there were a lot of points in between, or were all of those steps necessary to get to where you are now?
I think all of the steps were actually necessary to get where I am now. Honestly, if I were a college student who was thinking about leading into this direction of healthcare, probably would have gotten my MBA or a healthcare administration type of degree.
Instead of medical school or in addition to?
I think in addition to. I do think that we need more healthcare professionals, especially physicians, working in these environments where we can impact patients from a higher level, as opposed to having the healthcare administrations who don't understand both sides and can't put themselves in either the shoes of the healthcare workers or the patients.
I think from what the way you told the story, it sounds like a lot of the reasons for your success is you got yourself in leadership positions. And so I know you attributed to your chattiness, right? And your friendliness and being forthright with leadership, but is there anything else that you would, like, if you were career counseling someone and they wanted to end up on a similar path to you, what would be the advice that you would give them to get yourself in those positions?
I would say always be resourceful.
What do you mean by that?
I think I mentioned a little earlier that a lot of people work in silos. So they kind of stick to themselves, oh, the doctor said this, the knowledge is this, or oh, like the engineers are doing this type thing, and they may limit themselves from learning from other places. So you have, like I personally, and we've seen it in healthcare, where we do better when we borrow from other industries. So we talk a lot about how we borrow certain things like the universal checklist from airlines and a lot of other things, stuff from the car industry. So if we could learn from other industries, I think that would be good. So a lot of times for me, I know that a lot of physicians don't utilize LinkedIn because, you know, we apply, we do residency. A lot of people stay in their institutions where
they
are.
Yeah, that's for business people. That's not for us. We use Doximity. Although Doximity, I haven't found, Doximity isn't interactive.
It's kind of like we use antiquated methods just because we're used to it and we are trained by antiquated people. But it's 2024,
I'm not sure your mentors appreciate being called antiquated.
They've heard it. I just gave a talk at my residency program about a month ago, and our old chair was in there and some of my attendings, and he was like, "So, why do you need a degree in diversity if you trained in Baltimore?" And I was like, "Well." So yeah, times are changing. And then he also told me that their med school tuition total was $5,000. And I was like, wow, 1967. So times have changed. But getting back to the purpose of this is learning from other people and other industries, especially from places where we would least expect, can be life-changing. So you can look and you can see how, I don't know, I study some of those gurus on LinkedIn and how they post and all of the little carousels that they put, and they're like, here's how you market yourself, and here's, it actually makes sense, and it's how you could probably market a healthcare organization or something like that, or a consulting
or
business.
Or health tech consulting firm.
Yes. So those types of things, just because they're not coming from a medical institution or a journal and things like that, which those are reputable things that we like, patient care should come from those. Yes. But the other components of it, we can look in other places.
Yeah, that actually keeps coming up on this podcast in terms of like reaching out to other fields that have nothing to do with medicine. And you know, clearly I believe in that because that's, you know, I love having people from completely outside of medicine and focusing their lens on healthcare or the doctor-patient interaction specifically. But it keeps, in terms of like your career of like, you know, doing something, reaching out to people that are in completely different fields, even if you think it has nothing to do with healthcare, right? Just reaching out because you find it interesting, and God knows where you're going to take that. And it might be nowhere, but it could be somewhere amazing. And you know, if you keep on pushing and looking and reaching out, you're going to build some connections that will ultimately pan out into something.
Absolutely. An example I will give is a couple of years ago, I saw an article about an organization and how they were kind of in a state of transition, like one with the pandemic, and then they had some leadership issues. And I ended up reaching out to them, and they had a board position open, and it happened to be Girl Develop It that you mentioned earlier. And that organization is an organization that works in the tech realm to train and get women and non-binary people kind of set up for success going into the tech world. And you could be in college age, you could be like a second career mom, all of those kinds of things. And they're trying to help set you up for success. And I joined the board as the only physician and with no tech experience. I don't know how to code. I did work with the product team, but I did not work that long with them that closely. So you just think about all of these different things. So how can I contribute? And during the meetings, we talk about different things in ways like what programs do people need? And like, yes, I've learned some names to some certain things now, like Kubernetes and stuff like that. I'm not sitting in the class, even though they've told me like, hey, you can have a free coupon. It's just very interesting what perspective you can bring to a room for people who may have blinders on. So I've implemented like me giving a LinkedIn course to talk to women about how to develop their LinkedIns there. No students, or talking about like how to interview, because I have a podcast that talks to students about how to thrive and get into medical school and all of those kinds of things. So a lot of the skills that you have are transferable. That's kind of the point that I want to get across. So if you see something, you don't have to just do it in medicine. You can do it in other things, and you may have some valuable skills that you can contribute. For instance, as a physician, you are used to leading teams. You're used to kind of sifting through a lot of information and figuring out how to pull out the important information. You're used to listening, hopefully. You're used to kind of being able to summarize things succinctly and talk about how you're getting the bigger picture and kind of pointing out different things. So there are so many skills that you have. I have a lot of friends who sometimes you get through the certain like 5, 10, 15 year itch in medicine and you're like, do I want to do this forever? And they're like, well, all I know how to do is be a doctor. I can't even work at Sephora. And you can, but you can also do so much more. And you just have to think about how to take those skills that you have and just kind of cross-correlate it to whatever you want to do.
That's interesting. You know, it makes me think of my wife, who, she's not in medicine. She's not in healthcare at all and was a stay-at-home mom and then had this itch to get out of the house. And she, I mean, clearly with three little boys, you know, not socializing very much, just so she started working at this basically a bakery. I mean, it was a bakery attached to a farm that she really liked. And she was working at the counter, like making sandwiches, ringing up orders, because she just liked it there. And then that led to her teaching cooking classes. And now she doesn't work there anymore. She teaches cooking classes on her own. She's got her own company where she goes out to different places to teach cooking classes to kids and adults. And it all started with, you know, this like, well, this place is really cool and I really like it. And so, you know, we can have this same experience virtually. This person is doing really cool things. This company is doing really cool things. And it might turn into your version of cooking classes, but it might not. But it all starts with making these connections and putting yourself out there. And as you said, like, we're physicians, which gives us really instant credibility in a lot of different settings, even if it's not. I feel like the place that it doesn't give us credibility is like in healthcare. People are like, well, doctors don't know anything about business, so they can't run a practice. But you take the physician out of healthcare and you put them somewhere else, and people are like, ooh, they're a doctor. So they automatically, you know, there's some respect there. And, you know, people would be willing, even if it's not about healthcare, willing to listen to what we have to say because we have those transferable skills. So I think that is fantastic advice. So when you do give your lectures on LinkedIn, can you give us a tip for those of us who are, you know, we have our profiles, but we really don't, we normally just scroll and like sometimes, don't really post that much. Like, what else should we be doing on there?
I'll give you some quick, I'm just going to mentally think through a LinkedIn profile and just go from top to bottom. So make sure you have a banner that like pops and makes people like want to look at your page when they go on it. You make sure that you actually have a profile picture up. It doesn't have to be a glamour shot or anything like that, but it kind of looks creepy. Like, are you a real person when it's just like a little
gray?
Yeah,
people think you're a bot, which I've gotten a lot of messages from bots. And they do look like real people. So you at least have to look at least like a bot.
Yeah. On your headline, it'd be great to kind of write, like, that's right next to your name. You write, like, what you do, what you can help with, like, what your interests are. It doesn't have to be, like, physician or whatever, but it could be like primary care enthusiast or something like that can kind of pop so that they can know like, oh, I want to learn more about that person or something. If you wanted to show like what you help with, like I help save lives through otoscopes, I don't know, something like that. And Okay. Then when you get to your about me section, you can talk about like highlight certain things if you do decide to post. You can put up some of your good posts or something if you've been featured in something so that there will be something there. You can link your different jobs that you've worked at or your volunteer organizations or the boards that you're on if you're on any. And one thing I will say about LinkedIn is it's not a resume. So you can put things that you want to highlight on there. You don't have to put every last job you've had like until teenagehood. Definitely put like your schools, your institutions and things on there. And then it can get to the fun part. You can ask people for like recommendations. If you want to do speaking engagements and you've spoken somewhere or you've given ground rounds or something like that, you can ask your students or your other co-residents or something. If you're a little younger in the career for feedback on there, you can kind of request like, oh yeah, this is the best speaker I ever heard on heart failure or something like that. And then you can also have an area where you can have endorsements of skills. So these skills can be anything you want it to be. It could be patient care. It could be administrative. It can be something kind of tailored towards what you do and what you want to be known for. It only lets you put 50 skills. And I know you're thinking like only 50, but it can go quickly if you have different interests. So you could put
all the cerumen removal one of the skills I can put down?
Yeah, probably. I think you can type
fantastic.
It in. So you can write all those skills and people can endorse you in it. Like all of the people who you've removed the cerumen from can be like, yes, I endorse that. He removed it 20
That's
times.
The guy. So good.
And it can show like it'll be like 100 people endorsed you for that. And you'll be like the champion of removals. So that's just a way to kind of structure, like going down, like when someone's reading it, like what would be interesting to them or what's something that might you might find some commonalities with. And the next part about that is recommended to have about more than 500 friends. So you can, you know, go and click through all the people you went to residency with, you work with, all of those kinds of things to have kind of an audience. So you'll have a plethora of different things to kind of follow on your feed. And then don't be afraid to DM people. Like, it's a professional networking platform. So network. If you like a post, like, say, hey, I really like that. If you want to talk to someone, say, hey, can I chat? Like, I think we connected on LinkedIn. So we're like, hey, I'm fangirling over you. You're fangirling over me. Like, let's be on each other's podcast. Like, the worst thing that can happen is they say no or they ignore it, but you shot. So it's kind of an opportunity to get to know one another. Like when the pandemic first started, if you haven't noticed by now, I love to chat. I was getting a little antsy in the house. So I just started like messaging people and saying, hey, you want to have virtual coffee? And one thing about that, if there's something that you want to learn about, just reach out to people. People love talking about themselves. So if you reach out and you want to maybe transition into, I don't know, working at a pharmaceutical company or something like that, and you see someone who has a medical science liaison or one of the directors or something there, you can reach out to them and say like, hey, can you tell me about like how to transition? And worst they say is no. And a lot of times it's not because they don't want to chat with you. More than likely it's because they're busy, but they usually, if they can't, they'll be like, no, but you should try Donna. Let me connect you to. So I would definitely say explore LinkedIn and utilize it more than just for scrolling.
Fantastic. Amazing advice. So if people want to find you or they want to reach out and DM you, where do we find you?
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Erkeda Deroen, E-R-K-E-D-A, last name D-E-R-O-U-E-N. And I love speaking and all of those kind of things like we talked about. So I have two websites. So one of my websites is Dr. Erkeda, D-R-E-R-K-E-D-A, so www.drerkeda.com, and that's where you can see like some of my speaking engagement clips, all of my podcasts, all of the little op-eds and stuff. And then if you are a digital health leader and you want to bring your digital health organization or telemedicine organization to the next level, make sure that you are in alignment with all of the compliance and quality and you want to hit all of the quadruple aim things, then you can check out my website, eldconsultants.com. Those are my initials if you're wondering what the ELD is. And I will never tell you guys what the L means, but I'm sure if you guys Google it, it'll pop up. But I'd be happy to chat, or you can just send me a LinkedIn message and we can get something scheduled.
Amazing. Well, thank you for all that you do in and out of healthcare. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks again from Heidi. Elevate your practice with a free AI scribe, zero cost, HIPAA compliant, and time saving. Ready to swap? We've got you covered for past AI scribe expenses. Head to HeidiHealth.com, get started, and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town.
Thanks for listening. I have a favor to ask. You listened to the episode until the end, which means you either fell asleep or you really liked the episode. So please share it or like it. Or comment on a social media post, or write us a 5-star review, something. It would really help me out. And maybe what you learned from this episode can help someone else too. The views expressed in this episode are those of the interviewer and interviewee, and don't represent the views of their employer or even their significant other. Even though the magic of podcasting make it sound like I'm talking directly to you, this is not a doctor-patient relationship, and this is not medical advice, or financial advice, or really any advice. Thank us again for listening to The Physician's Guide to Doctoring.